Our readings this morning, of which there are two. The first is from the Old Testament, from Isaiah, and then the New Testament reading from Romans. They appear on the screen here behind me as well. Our Advent series is foretold and fulfilled, where we're looking at Isaiah's promises of foretelling the coming Messiah and what he will do, and then the fulfillment of that in the New Testament. So first of all, Isaiah 52, verses 7 to 12. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Come out from it and be pure. You who carry the articles of the Lord's house. But you will not leave in haste or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. And from the New Testament, from the book of Romans. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Well, about 50 people more than I thought might be here this morning in the weather. Thank you for turning up. So we're talking about joy this morning, so I suppose I should be preaching with a smile, which is quite hard. But I think it's really interesting, because I was thinking about putting this together, how it's a topic that we speak about every single Advent, but we rarely put any emphasis on during the rest of the year. And yet, in the NI version of the Bible, there are 242 references to joy and joyful. And 33 of those references are in the book of Isaiah. It's one of the most often referred to emotions in the Bible. So it's clearly important, isn't it? And so, just to get things started, a few examples for us to reflect upon. So, first of all, from Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. Then Isaiah 24, verse 14. They raise their voices, they shout for joy. From the west, they acclaim the Lord's majesty. Now, for those biblical scholars amongst you, you will appreciate that in both the book of Isaiah and the book of Psalms, which together encompass about 100 of these references to joy, there is quite a lot of singing for joy, shouting for joy, and leaping for joy. Which is quite encouraging, isn't it, really? That's what we should be doing. And we continue in Luke 1:14, he will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And this most tremendous passage from Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just hope that, you know, those few passages, you know, will provide a bit of encouragement to us this morning, give us a little bit of a lift at this time. And you know, it's also interesting that joy is one of those words that doesn't get used a great deal in everyday language. We're more likely to refer to, for example, happiness or about being happy. And I've just a thought, either for the rest of this sermon or home group or fellowship time, why is joy used as a person's name but not its synonyms? Why are children not named happiness, delight, elation, rapture? And for the hard of hearing, that last one was rapture, not raptor, because that's a different child. But it's interesting, isn't it? So what do we mean by joy? Well, I think a pretty good definition would be this. The emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. The emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. And note in that definition the use of two strong adjectives, great and exceptionally, not mild, not slightly, not limited, but great and exceptionally. As I mentioned, it's quite common in everyday language for the word happiness to be used instead of joy. But there is a very important difference between the two. What sets joy apart from happiness is that it is recognised as being deeper and longer lasting than happiness, which often tends to be more fleeting or transitory. For example, you might be happy to meet and have a chat with a friend from church when you're out shopping in cigars. Now that happiness probably dissipates quite quickly as the busyness of life takes over. Whereas, you would probably feel joy at the birth of a child or grandchild. That emotion of joy is deeper and longer lasting. And interestingly, of course, that joy is highlighted in John 16:21. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. Now, when I decided to select that passage, I thought, tread carefully. And you do have to hope that John spoke to a few women before he wrote that, because that was clearly dangerous ground. But there's a point, isn't it? Even if those words aren't entirely true for all women, you'll hopefully agree that there is a truth that when we experience deep joy, whether through childbirth or anything else significant, we can and do put to one side the pain, the anguish, the worries that we had previously felt. Joy is an amazingly powerful emotion. Or another example, you may be happy to receive a present for Christmas, as I'm sure children and adults alike will this Christmas. Whereas you may feel joy at having, say, a treasured family heirloom or a possession returned to you, which you'd lost and thought you'd never get back. It's a comparison between the often fleeting or transitory happiness of a gift compared with the deeper joy associated with something that is really treasured, that's really important. Now, I'm not saying that it's not good to be happy. Of course it is. What I'm suggesting is that joy trumps happiness. And so joy should become a more treasured emotion, one not to be taken lightly. And so whether we have joy in our lives at the moment, and I'm sure that we all yearn for good things or even exceptionally good things to happen in our lives which will bring this feeling of joy. And one thing that is likely to inspire joy is exceptionally good news. We all like good news. Well, most of us do anyway. There might be the odd harbinger of doom. But for the rest of us, good news can only be welcomed. It's uplifting. It makes us feel good. And it's exceptionally good news, leading to joy, that links these two passages that Tim read earlier. In the passage from Isaiah, we have the promise of joy. And then in the passage from Romans, we read of the joy becoming a reality. Hence the foretold and fulfilled. And if we take the Isaiah passage first of all, just pause a while on verse 7. Because it's packed with good news. It speaks of the messenger proclaiming the good news of peace, salvation, and then those three words, your God reigns. And to be absolutely blunt, if the promise of God's peace, of our salvation, and the affirmation that our God reigns doesn't meet the definition of exceptionally good news, then I don't know what ever will. Getting a bit heated. There has to be an emotional response, surely, to hearing those promises. And surely that response has to be more than simple, transitory happiness. As one writer put it, where God reigns, peace, goodness and salvation follow. All things will be as God designs, and his good purposes will be realised. Yeah, I think maybe we should spend a bit more time than maybe some of us do reflecting on those three words, our God reigns. We should have them at the forefront of our minds to draw on every day. They are, I believe, the perfect counter to any bad news that we might receive, to any challenges that we might be facing. Our God reigns. Our God is in charge. Our God has it all in hand. And as those words of Isaiah remind us, God will go before us, God will be behind us, God will protect us. Exceptionally good news indeed. Now in this passage from Isaiah that Tim read before, we also read of the people waiting for good news, desperate for it even. The watchman looking out for a messenger. Which leads me on to consider what's the difference between a messenger bringing good news and one bringing bad news. It'll be in the body language, the facial expressions, the general demeanour of the messenger. One of my pet frustrations is miserable Christians. And by that I mean ones who don't find joy in anything. Ones who rarely smile. You know, I just think, if say on a Sunday morning, people just see non-smiling Christians leaving church. What hope have we got for bringing those people to know Jesus? Having said that, I do believe that we here send out a really positive message both before and after the services. Last week, those of you here will remember, I took one for the team and I was stood outside opening and closing the door to retain the heat. And so chatting to people. The welcome team, incidentally, were inside. and we had our grandchild with us, our grandson Arthur, with us, who doesn't come to church normally, just been a couple of times with us. He's age six. And so he was stood with me some of the time. And he asked me, he said, "Grandad, why do you keep laughing and joking with these people?" And I gave him a cracking answer. And a few minutes later, "Grandad, why do you keep joking and laughing with these people?" And it just struck me, because it's natural, but actually that's what we do. That's what we do because we are friends. We are greeting people that matter to us. And that's how we behave. And just thinking about what a positive message that would be sending out to anybody who was walking by. And the point about that positive message in my very simple world is, surely that provides intrigue to people looking in and thinking, oh, I wonder what's going on in there. But let's return to the words of Isaiah again as he describes the emotional response of joy of those who have been hoping and waiting for the good news that finally arrives. Your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. And a bit later, burst into songs of joy together. Now picture someone who's been waiting for significant news, possibly dreading bad news, expecting not so good news. And then when they actually receive good news, their relief will be palpable, their exclamations of joy evident to all around. They will probably raise their voice and maybe even shout and scream with delight. Some of you may have done exactly that in the past. And as people nearby hear the noise and see the joyful reactions of those who've received the good news, so they too are uplifted, so they too enjoy the moment. It is a scientific fact that smiles are contagious. So if you receive good news and smile, as hopefully you will, that will be shared by others. You know, sharing a bit of joy with a smile, it's not hard, is it? And it reminds me of an interesting experiment that a few years ago, when a couple of people on a packed tube train in London, not the most hospitable of places, those two people started laughing. And within a matter of seconds, the whole carriage was laughing too, and yet had no idea why. But it's proof that it never hurts to share positive emotions. And again, back to this passage. You might say, and the word's been used more than once before and was used in the video talking about Alpha as well. You might say that Isaiah wants us to think big. The really good news here is seriously big. The really good news described in this passage is, of course, about our salvation. The promise of our salvation. There's your treasured gift. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Unlike the Christmas gifts, which may be quickly put to one side as people look for the next one, the gift of the promise of our salvation is bigger than any other gift and should be grasped tightly and never let go. But the question that goes alongside that exceptionally good news of the promise of Jesus and our salvation is, are we ready to hear it? Are we really ready to receive good news, believe it, and be joyful? Are we ready to receive good news, to be joyful, and pass it on? To move from receivers to spreaders, sharing that good news with family and friends, sharing that good news with our work colleagues, sharing that good news with enthusiasm and indeed joy. It's generally accepted that bad news travels faster and wider than good news. Why is that? It's often explained as being because so many people are intrigued by negative news and interested in hearing about the tragedies, hardships and failures of others. And unfortunately, bad news can become captivating in a culture that views drama, danger and misfortune as great forms of entertainment on television and other media channels. But if bad news becomes or indeed remains a focus for so many people, the end result quickly becomes that we create and live in a relentlessly joyless society. And that fact alone surely gives all of us one very simple but important reason why we carry a responsibility to share good news as often as we can, with enthusiasm and joy. We need to play our part in building a focus on good news. So in this passage from Isaiah, we have good news, the foretelling or the promise of joy through the promise of peace, the promise of salvation through Jesus Christ, and the unending truth that our God reigns.
And if we quickly move on to the New Testament passage, we have the fulfillment of those promises described by Isaiah. The promise of joy becomes a reality. The good news of the promise of our salvation through Jesus Christ becomes a truth. So in that passage from Romans 10 we read, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And if you reflect carefully on that passage, there is a clear obligation on us to share our faith. To share the good news of the gospel, to share the good news and joy of Jesus. As one writer put it, joy is allowing Jesus to rule in your heart. We are to be the messengers that bring good news to others, bringing joy to those who will accept the good news and believe. Again from that passage in Romans. And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? If we don't share the good news, then who's going to do it? Isn't it amazing how, we're talking about Alpha earlier, about sharing the good news. And here I am saying, it's a good idea to share good news. You'd almost think there was a higher authority influencing what we're saying. But it fits, doesn't it? That's what it's all about. So, a plea, a request. During the remaining time of this Advent and over Christmas, let's all make a special effort to share the good news of Jesus and of the promises that await those who will believe. I'm sure that for all, or certainly most of us here this morning, we have family and friends that we would dearly love to come to know Jesus. Mm-hmm. And just think back to a couple of weeks ago when Tim handed out those red ribbons to us all and asked us to tie a knot in them for everyone that we love, that we pray will come to know Jesus. But prayer alone probably won't cut it. We need to share the good news time and time again. And what a gift that would be. What joy would it bring you if it were to happen this Christmas time because you shared the good news, the exceptionally good news of Jesus with those that you love. Exceptionally good news brings joy. God gave the world a reason for great joy as he fulfilled his promise to send his son to save us all. He gave us the greatest gift of all. Not a gift that brings transitory happiness, but a gift that brings a deep, long-lasting pleasure. Joy. I'd like to finish with those wonderful words from Luke's gospel, the words of the angel to the shepherds. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." May the exceptionally good news of Jesus bring you all and those that you love real, deep and long-lasting joy this Christmas. God bless.